Well, hello there, and welcome to my Almost Midlife Crisis. I'm your host, Jennifer Mathis. This podcast is about navigating getting older and still trying to feel fabulous. So the older we get, the more we're expected to be able to solve all of our own problems. And this is fair. We are grown adults, and we can't expect our parents to fix our problems for the rest of our lives, at least not most of us. But the thing about getting older is it also feels like people are less willing to allow you to make mistakes or cut you some slack. And by people, that includes ourselves. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how dealing with stress changes as we get older and how sometimes the responsibility of solving your own problems kind of sucks. So if you ever felt like you'd rather just curl up on the couch and wait for your problems to solve themselves and put your big curled pants on and deal with it, then one, you're not alone. And two, this episode's for you. First of all, I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. And before you get all up on my back for skipping a week, bitch, I needed a weekend off, okay? Not from the podcast necessarily, but kind of just like from life and all responsibilities. I needed a break, okay? So sue me. But I am back and I have missed you. And let's just dive into the topic of stress, everyone's favorite. Oh, stress. Remember when you were younger and you were stressed about shit that like didn't even matter, but it was so important to you. Like you were mad that Becky didn't invite you to the party or Bobby never called you back. Also, I don't know why I just picked two names that sounded like they were the main characters in like Grease 5, if that was ever made, but you get my drift. So when we were younger, the things that we stressed out about weren't really that actually like a big deal, which, hey, I mean, honestly, I consider myself lucky that that's the case. I know there are so many people out there that have had to deal with a lot of just real shit when they were younger. And I'm not saying that I had nothing big and real that I had to deal with, but like on a typical day-to-day basis, the things that kept me up at night were not a big deal. Hindsight 2020, right? But as you get older and you're building your life, you're building your wealth, you're making investments, you're taking risks, you're building a family, you're creating a social circle, shit starts to get real. Okay. And the stress is no joke. We hold a lot on our shoulders. In fact, when I go get a massage, it is insane. Like I just got my first massage maybe like a month ago because obviously I wasn't going to get massages for like all of 2020, right? Like that wasn't happening. And I went down to go visit my mom. I surprised her after we were both vaccinated. It was the first time I saw her. I went down for Mother's Day. She lives in Florida. So it felt like entering another country at this point. In our world. But I went down there and I booked us massages. And I'm not gonna lie, it was like a present for her for Mother's Day, but it was also definitely a present for me because it had been so long. And when I went, I pretty much told her, I want a deep tissue massage and really focus on my back because that's where I hold all my stress. You will not believe how tight my back, like the knots in my back. It was like a physical representation of the year 2020 sitting in my back. It was insane. I so clearly needed it and actually really made me think like this 1 hour session is not going to be enough. Like I need to like seriously start going more regularly. And they always say that like every time you go get a massage, I don't know if it's like a sales thing or whatever, but they're always like, you really should be doing this like once a month. And I'm like, who has time to get a massage once a month? I mean, I wish I did because I probably do actually need it. But anyway, there's a lot that we hold on our shoulders, maybe physically for me, but you know, like stress. And I'm not even a parent yet, so I can't even imagine adding that layer on top of it. And I'm not going to lie, like this last month has been like, it's been a little rough. Okay. I've been at my limit for stress, like at my limit, like I felt it, like the pot was full. Okay. And part of it was work. There's been a lot of change in personnel and, you know I'm not alone when I say that the market is fucking crazy right now, not only in advertising, but just like you see reports every day that are coming out of like, you know, pandemic people's mindsets have changed, their priorities have changed, they're switching jobs, they're moving. You know, people are just like looking for change. And, you know, my work is not immune to that. And we've had turnover in 2021 that seems like a lot, but it's really not it's not actually any more than in the past, because this happens. Like, it's part of the advertising industry, right? Like, I think like the average attrition rate in advertising is like 25%, which is pretty high. And in a smaller mid-sized agency, you know, you feel more of that because you actually know the people. It's not like, you know, a random, like when I used to work at a really big agency, you knew there was a lot of like movement, but you didn't really know most of the people. So it just kind of like, it didn't really impact you. But at a smaller agency, like you feel the impact. And I noticed that the difference in dealing with this now versus previously in my career is that now that we're working remotely, I honestly feel that that has such a major impact. Like the same churn that we would normally get has so much of a, like, more impact on morale. Because in the past, I mean, people would quit. That's normal. You were short-staffed, so you could restaff, which normal, right? But during that middle time, while it sucked and you had to work more hours, it also built this camaraderie that we all were like, we're in it together and we're going to like make it happen. We're going to come together in this time. And it was almost this like bonding experience. Like I remember, you know, in my past lives, like working super late nights because we were short staffed and we'd like get a beer and like we would just like knock some shit out. And it was a bonding experience. But now we're working from home and you almost feel alone, right? Because virtually like that bonding doesn't really translate the same. So while it's stressful to lose people just in general, the work from home environment, I honestly feel like it's just a freaking downer and it just doesn't help the stress. And I would argue it actually increases the stress. So from a work perspective, you know, I'm going through some short-term pains right now. And it's short term and we've already like, you know, hired multiple people. And so that's on its way out, but like short term or not, like it's pain. So that's kind of like stress number one. Stress number two, wedding planning. Now I will say I am thrilled that I could finally say it's actually happening. Like I feel comfortable saying is actually happening after delaying it four times. This is our fourth date. Thank you, COVID. But I feel like if I say it at this point, I'm past the point of jinxing it. Now watch, mark my words. Something will happen and we won't have it. But July 17th is the date. And while it's my fourth date, it's coming up. So after all those delay, it's coming up and I'm fucking psyched. I cannot even explain to you. But as anyone that has ever planned a wedding in their lives knows, that's just stressful, okay? It's good stress. Like, it's stress you're excited about, but it's stress. And the last month was really, like, this crunch time. So, like, work's crazy. And then I had, like, a shitload of decisions that I had to make and a lot of money to write checks on. Well, not checks, because, like, who the fuck writes checks anymore? But, like, you know what I'm saying. A lot of money going out the door, stress going crazy at work. Like, so that was a lot, right? So that was stress number two. On top of that, Ginza, my lovely baby girl Ginza, gave us some stress over the last month. And so we started basically noticing that there was like this seizure-like activity, I could say. I've had a dog, so to give you some background, I had a dog that used to get those like really scary seizures. They're called like grand mal seizures or something. And they basically, if you've never seen it, it is fucking terrifying. They flip on their side. Like they're just standing there and then all of a sudden they will flip on their side. Their legs shoot out. They're like as stiff as can be and they're like shaking and it is the most terrifying thing you've ever seen. And those seizures for her eventually led to a stroke, and that's how she passed. So when Ginza started to have, they weren't like that. They didn't look like that, but they were kind of what I thought were seizures. You could imagine where my mind went immediately, which is horrible. Like, I don't want to be negative Nancy, but like, it was a definitely worst case scenario feeling. Because I was just, you know, there's clearly trauma that was triggering from my last dog. So a couple of months ago, we started noticing Ginza would have these episodes. And basically what would happen is she would just be like totally normal. And then she would get like wobbly, like unsteady on her feet, and her eyes would like jerk back and forth, and she'd get really stiff. And so based on my, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert, but based on my last dog and how she would get very stiff, and it was like this kind of in and out kind of consciousness thing, I assumed it was a seizure. So we started working with the doctor, which we go, if you live in Chicago and if you're anywhere near a Boulevard Vet, I'm telling you, I trust them with everything. They're amazing. They've helped me. I could do a whole episode on why they are probably some of the best vets that I've ever dealt with. But so we were working with her vet, and you know, she was going to be four. She's going to be four this July. So she's young, and we want to know what it was. We want to treat it. We want to like nip it in the bud. Right. And you know, she's a French bulldog. So like a lot of Frenchies have epilepsy. Like there's a lot of, I mean, it's, you know, a breed that we all know the breeding isn't the best, and there's a lot of issues that they deal with. So I was like, well, maybe it's that, and let's catch it early and let's treat it. So, well, the doctor, when we were talking to her, she, you know, I never caught it on video, or she never saw the episode herself. And so she didn't want to put her on anti-seizure meds, without it being to a certain point. So she basically was like, well, you can keep an eye on her and you can see if it gets worse, or you can get an MRI. And I mean, you're talking to like two super impatient problem solvers, like goal oriented people. And we're like, we are not waiting for it to get worse. Like, we're going to get an MRI. I want to know what's going on. So let me tell you, if you want to get an MRI, like if you want to get a dog an MRI, or if you're considering switching careers, I would recommend being an animal neurologist, because apparently there is a shortage. So I bet you could pretty much write your own paycheck. Okay. Do you know, I had to call, I'm not even exaggerating, like at least five vets in just the Chicagoland area, but I actually also went further out just to find a neurologist that I could get into within the summer, like the whole summer. Okay. Like some of them weren't even, they were like, well, you can go on the wait list, or, well, our neurologist is leaving at the end of May and we don't have a replacement yet. So sorry. Like it was insane. We were actually, Christian was like, well, we should just go to Wisconsin. We should go to Indiana. Like, let's go out of state. Like that's where we were at, because I just couldn't even get into one, even find a neurologist. And then I finally found one in Downers Grove, which is like 45 minutes away. It's crazy. I mean, we're the third largest city in the U.S., and I can't get a damn vet neurologist within a 2-month span. Like, that is insane. Anyway, we were lucky. We got her in. And this week, we got her an MRI. And $4,000 later, we find out that Ginza does not have epilepsy. She actually just has a middle ear infection. And after some antibiotics, they'll clear things right up. I mean, but don't get me wrong. Thank God, right? Like, thank God that that's all it was. She doesn't have a tumor. She doesn't have this like long thing we're going to have to deal with for the rest of her life, knock on wood. And thank God it wasn't worse, but God damn. Okay. There was a lot of stress on top of wedding planning and work. There was a lot of worry, and it was a lot of fucking money for an ear infection. Like, it just was a lot. So thankfully we are now on antibiotics. She's doing better. Like, I'm hopeful. Okay. Moving past that. Right. So that was stress number three. Stress number four, five, and six are all things that I put on myself. And I 100% admit that they're what I would call extracurriculars of my own doing. So this podcast, which would be one of them, I love it, but I mean, it takes work and it's a responsibility that I have given myself. So that was one that I was like, oh, I haven't done an episode this week. I'm fucking exhausted. Like, whatever. Two, I have a book that I'm trying to get published. We can talk about that later. And three, I'm enrolled in this like 6-month Kellogg Executive Marketing Leadership Program, which I find fascinating, but you know, it takes about 5 to 6 hours of work a week, for class. So these are all by choice, and I understand that, and I enjoy all of them, but they're responsibilities that I've taken on, and they're things that I take seriously. So when you add all of these things to stress one, two, and three, let's just say I was kind of hitting my limit. I was there. Like, I felt it. Like, every little thing, I was like the last straw. Like, I just felt like I was hitting the last straw, and I was PMSing, which didn't help. And for anyone, you know, I don't think I have a lot of males that listen to this. For anyone that does not believe in PMSing, let me tell you, it is a real thing. So I was just, I was really just at my limit. So, in fact, I was so at my limit, I was physically getting hives. I mean, I've been getting hives all of 2020, and a lot of it is just because I don't know if anyone else experiences this, but what the fuck happens with allergies as you get older? Like, the older I get, the worse they get. And I'm just like, I thought that we, like, when you were younger, if you had allergies, like, that's the allergies you had, and then, like, you're good to go. No, they've literally gotten progressively worse every year of my life. And I, at this point, it's ridiculous. Like, I have to take so much allergy medication. But in fact, I got 3 COVID tests in all of 2020 because I legitimately thought I had COVID, and all 3 were allergies. So I can deal with them. I've been working with an allergist coming up because I'm like, my allergies keep getting worse. I have a wedding coming up. I would like to not have random hives all over my body and my face and my chest. That's a preference. Like, I would like to not have that because it's super fun. And so I've been working with this allergist to get them under control. And so I have been, it's been going well, but then I started getting these like additional, like new version of hives where it was almost like around the collar of my neck, which was fun. And, so I go and I'm like, what the fuck's happening? So she basically says, well, yeah, those are due to stress. So my recommendation is that you simply need to include de-stressing activities in your daily routine. Like, well, isn't that fucking simple? Like, if I could do that, do you think that I would have fucking hives right now? Do you think that, like, this is what I want to be doing? Like, that is the least helpful doctor advice ever. It's the same thing as when I went to the dentist years ago and I was grinding my teeth and they were like, oh, are you stressed? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, if you just get unstressed, you'll stop grinding your teeth. And I'm like, yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, the goal is to get unstressed. Like, I fucking hate when doctors are just like, well, just de-stress. Oh, okay. Just de-stress. Sure. It's that simple. So it doesn't really matter the stress because, listen, we all have them. For me, it's work, Ginza, wedding, extracurriculars I put on my plate at probably like the worst possible time. But when I was younger, you know, you'd get overwhelmed and you would like call mom or dad. And sometimes they'd give you advice and sometimes they'd bail you out and maybe of jail or just of your, you know, your problem. But as you get older, like the onus lies on you now, right? And you alone, like that's it. Like you're feeling stressed. Well, what are you going to do about it? And it was just like stressful in itself. Like, well, just get your feelings in check. Don't be so emotional. Definitely don't cry. Smile through it. Meditate. Work out. Do de-stressing things. Let some of your extracurriculars go. Streamline things. Like there's all this advice out there, but what it really means, what it's really saying is the underlying just, hey, why don't you just go get your shit together? Because none of us have time to deal with our own shit. And we definitely don't have time to deal with yours. Like there's just this like impatient part of it, right? It's just impatience. And I get it. I get it. We all have our own stress to deal with. And so taking someone else's on is also like too much. And we all have our own coping mechanisms that we've learned as we've gotten older. Like mine is usually like, I need a day to go. I just need to go like into that dark place. And then when I wake up the next day, I've like have this new lease on life and I've changed my attitude and I'm back to my optimistic self. And I have this like whole new mindset that helps me deal with my shit. And I can normally do that pretty quick. Like usually like a day, right? I just need like one day. I don't know, but this time, I was really struggling to make that turn to positivity. And I honestly don't really know why. I feel like I have a lot of stress, but I also know that things are moving in the right direction, right? Like, yes, work is stressful, but we're hiring new people and we're building a new team. And like the last time we did that, we got amazing people out of it. So like there's some positives there too. And like, yes, the wedding is stressful, but like, holy fuck, we're finally doing it, right? Like that's a positive thing. Like there's a lot of positivity in the stress, but I just found that I like went into this funk and it was just like this serious funk. Like I was super negative and I just wanted to just like not deal with it. Like I just don't want to deal with it. I don't have like the bandwidth to like deal with that shit. And that's really not me, actually. I've been reading these articles about how people like are coming out of the pandemic and they're dealing with some sort of like PTSD or something where now they're like, now, okay, you're vaccinated and you no longer have to worry. And so everything's hitting them from 2020 and they can finally just actually deal with their feelings that they've kind of been like pushing aside. And I have no idea if that's true. And I also don't know if that's what I'm dealing with. But I just really found that I find it really hard right now to get out of the funk as quickly and make that positive turn. I was just really struggling with that. And it got me thinking, you know, as an adult, people just don't really give you the leeway to just go a little dark. And at times, like, that includes ourselves, right? Like, we don't give ourselves that leeway. I mean, even as I'm talking about this, I'm like, I should have made that turn quicker. But should I? Like, give me a fucking second. Shit sucks right now. And I'm stressed. And just let me wallow in this for a second. Like, is that wrong? I mean, it sucked at the time, but like, maybe that's necessary. I'd like to think that maybe it's a good thing. Like maybe over the past year, I've learned that I can have negative feelings. And in the words of Demi Lovato, it's okay to not be okay. Great song, by the way. I recommend listening to it, especially if you're in that dark place. But in the past, I would pride myself in being able to like quickly shift from negative to positive. Like it was about the quickness, right? But maybe I actually never gave myself enough time. Like I wasn't patient with myself. And maybe it's healthy to feel bad or be emotional as long as we can eventually bring ourselves back to productive and positive. Like you don't want to stay there. But like maybe it's okay to spend a little time there, you know? So I found myself giving myself a break this time. Like maybe it's okay to be moody for a little bit. Maybe it's okay to be negative. Maybe it's okay to finish your day early and go sit by the pool on a sunny day and give yourself some relaxation. I mean, doctor's orders, right? Or maybe it's not and we should do better. Or maybe we should just give ourselves a fucking break and not expect that we just easily get through everything life throws at us unscathed. I mean, we may not be teenagers anymore and it's no longer appropriate to throw a tantrum every time we don't want to do something, but maybe a tantrum here or there is okay. Like, why do we assume as we get older, we can't ever show any cracks or emotion when we get stressed? Like, when shit hits the fan, how did it become the expectation that we would keep a smile on our face and just glide through effortlessly and be pleasant the whole time? Like, if you can do that, please teach me. Like, send me an email, teach me. And maybe, listen, maybe that's your superpower. Okay. But I actually don't think that that's the norm. I think the norm should be letting us just feel shitty sometimes and not shame us for when we do. Like, yeah, I'm in a bad mood today. So what? Why do I have to feel bad to feel bad? That seems counterproductive. I didn't know getting older meant you can't just like feel unless it's positive anymore. I mean, I didn't sign up for that shit. There are three guarantees in life: death, taxes, and stress. Stress isn't going to go away, but it does need to be managed because stress that goes unattended can be a bitch. It's actually insane how much damage stress can do biologically and psychologically. So I'm not saying that you should just not deal with it. As we get older, the stress becomes more and more real as our responsibilities grow. So our ability to manage our own stress is critical. But while we need to figure out ways to manage our stress and reduce our stress overall, it's unrealistic to think that we're never going to have a bad day or two or more. And that's also healthy. To acknowledge your feelings and just sit in them uncomfortably, like sitting in a wicker chair that with shorts on. Just because you get up doesn't mean the checkered pattern on your thighs is going to instantly disappear. Sometimes it takes a while, so give yourself a break. Go listen to some moody music if you need it. Put yourself in a timeout if it's getting to be too much. And don't apologize for it. We're human. We're emotional creatures, whether you want to show it or not. But after you swim in that pool of negative emotions for a while, figure out what your ladder out is and get out of that damn pool, dry off, and try again. Until next time.